for allowing us to sort of spring that surprise on you. We enjoyed that. He is worthy. All right. It's good to be with you all again. We're going to begin looking in Matthew chapter 9. If you'd like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at a particular assignment that the Lord gave some folks here in this chapter. So Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 9. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's look to the Lord before we dig into this. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we desire to be in tune with your heart this morning and always. We desire to know what your desire is, what you love, what you long for. And Father, we confess that we need our lives to be changed, to be in line and in tune with who you are. I pray that you would work that in our hearts and in our lives starting today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, in this passage, it's a very short little scene here. We have the calling of Matthew, the tax collector, and then shortly after that, it would seem that Jesus was sitting at the table in the house. It doesn't say specifically whose house it was. Perhaps it was Matthew's house. That would make sense in the context, but we don't know. But anyway, in that house, these sinners and tax collectors came and sat down with him. The audacity of it all. but anyway, these people came and sat down with them at the table, and the Pharisees saw it. I don't know what kind of everybody was in this house, it would seem. But the Pharisees came and they saw this, and they were rather indignant. And the Lord Jesus turns to them, and he has an assignment for them. He says, "I want you to do something. I want you to go and learn what this means." What means? What this phrase means. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." I want you to go and learn what that means. And he follows that up and he says, "For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, I don't know if any of those Pharisees or if his disciples or if anybody accepted that assignment. I hope that they did. But regardless, We're going to accept that assignment this morning. He's telling us, go and learn what it means. He didn't just say, here's a phrase, you should know what it means, or here's something, that's enough for you. He said, no, this statement, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you need to go back and learn what that means. The implication is that they didn't know what it meant. So we're going to go and learn what that means. Well, a good place to start would be to find out where that statement occurs in Scripture. This is a quotation from the prophet Hosea. So we're going to go back to the prophet Hosea, and our goal is to learn what this means, just as the Lord Jesus instructed those Pharisees. So Hosea 6, verse 6, is where this particular phrase is located. Hosea 6, 6. Now we're going to go ahead and, for context, we're going to go ahead and read all of chapter 6. It's not a very long chapter. It's only 11 verses, so that we can kind of see where this comes into the whole message that Hosea is presenting here from the Lord. So we're going to start with Hosea 6, 1. Come, and let us return to the Lord. For he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But like men, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers and defiled with blood, as band of robbers lie in wait for a man, so the company of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed for you when I return the captives of my people. So one of the things that that comes out in this chapter is we're trying to learn what this means. What does it mean that God desires mercy and not sacrifice? So one of the things that stands out here is when the Lord says, what you need, right there in that verse 6, the second part of that verse is, they don't know me. These people, the Israels, the children of Israel and the children of Judah, God's condemnation of them in this passage, you don't know me anymore. And you know, if we put that in the context of what the Lord was saying to these Pharisees, he was saying the exact same thing to them. You have failed to know the heart of God. You're complaining. Here are these people, these sinners. Yes, they're not very much like us. Yes, we don't really get along with them. We're not of one mind with them. We're very different from them. They've come to hear the words of the Lord, And you don't like that. There's something wrong. You don't know the Lord. You're out of touch. You're out of tune with who He is. And that's the exact condition that Israel was in the day of Hosea. He says, this is what I desire, mercy and not sacrifice. I desire the knowledge of God. I want you to know me. And that's why at the beginning of the chapter, Hosea's message to them is, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. That should be something that we strive for, that we desire. We want to know, Lord, what is your heart? How does your heart work? What is it that is your desire? Because if we're not in tune with that, then we've missed everything. We've missed the whole point of His coming to earth. If we don't understand and know what His heart is. So He says, you need to go and learn what this means. So the whole message of Hosea, the whole prophet, there's 14 chapters. We're not going to read every chapter. We're not going to go through the whole thing. But the whole message, Hosea was sent to a people who had ceased to know their God. And that's why they were in trouble. That's why they were going astray. And he likens them, he describes them in their lack of faithfulness to him as harlots, as prostitutes. That's what they had become, spiritually speaking, maybe in some cases physically as well. They had gone so far away from their God because they ceased to know Him. And so Hosea's message is a call to come and know the Lord again. Pursue the knowledge of God. And Hosea himself was given the task of displaying a certain aspect of God's character and His nature in a way that would shock us. It shocks me. If you're familiar with what the Lord asked Hosea to do, it's kind of shocking what the Lord wanted him to do as an illustration, as a picture of the Lord's love and pursuit of His people, of sinful, wretched people. So we're going to go back and we're going to see that from Hosea chapter 1. I am going to read a rather lengthy portion here because I want us to get a sense of this picture, this illustration that God is giving to His people through Hosea, because that's part of what we are going to need to understand. If we're going to understand what that phrase in Hosea 6:6 means, we need to see the context of the whole book. So we're going to start with chapter 1. I'm going to read 3 chapters. They're not super long chapters, so I don't think it'll take really long. But I'm going to go ahead and read 3 chapters. You can read along with me. You can follow along with me here. Hosea 1:1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor battle, by horses or horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy is shown. Bring charges against your mother. Bring charges, for she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and expose her, as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry, for their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in, so that she cannot find her paths. She will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than now. For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine, and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time, and my new wine in its season, and will take back my wool and my linen, given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, all her appointed feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, these are my wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry, and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, says the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband, and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be towards you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Thank you for bearing with me in that reading of God's word. Some of those portions are a little bit hard to read, aren't they? Some of it is a little bit hard to listen to see and hear of the degradation of the nation of Israel. And sometimes it's hard to read and listen to the judgment that God is going to enact on those who are faithless to him. But when we get through all of that, we have to see that. We have to see how unfaithful God's people had become in order to appreciate the love and mercy that he desires to show to them. So Hosea became an object lesson to the people. He was told, go and marry a woman who's a harlot. Who would want to do that? Go and marry a woman who's a prostitute. You're going to take her to yourself. And she's going to give you children of harlotry. In other words, they're not going to be yours. And you're going to have to take them to yourself. Who would want to do that? But he said, you're going to do this. Now, apparently, there's not all the details are put in there. When we get to chapter 3, it would seem that after he had married this woman, Gomer, and she was involved in her adulteries and her harlotry, that she got so low that apparently she became a prostitute slave, essentially. And he had to go and buy her back. He had to go and pay money for her to bring her back to himself. Now, if it was hard to the first time around to take her and marry her the first time, I'm sure it was even harder to go and buy her back a second time after all that she had done. This is not the sort of person that we would want to welcome into our home, into our life, into our hearts. But God says, go and do that. Take that woman and love her. Why? Because you have to stand and be an example of what my love is for the children of Israel. Because they've done the same thing. They've committed the same kind of lewdness and abominations with me. But I still love them. And I want to show them mercy. And I want to bring them to a place of hope and forgiveness. And I want to call them my people. And I want to say, mercy. Mercy on those people. That's the heart that God wants his people to understand. That's the heart that Jesus wanted those Pharisees and his disciples to understand. Go and learn what this means. I want you to go back to the book of Hosea, and I want you to learn what it means that God, the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, desires mercy. You can read over that. You can just hear that phrase and go over it so quickly. But go back in Hosea and find out what it really meant, what God was saying there. That he was willing to go and redeem people who were the most unlovable, unsavory kind of people. Go and love them. That's what God did. And that's what the Lord Jesus came to the earth. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 9, he said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came for these people. I came for the people who are the lowest. That's the heart of the Lord. Do you know God's heart? That's my first question for you, for me, for each one of us here. Do you know God's heart of love? Now be careful how you answer that in your heart of hearts. Because what we truly believe and what we truly know in our heart of hearts is going to be reflected in our actions and our behavior. I know what it is in my own life to desire comfort, to desire to just be around people that are like me, that think the same way as I think, that I already have agreement with. And that's a blessing. It is a blessing to be with people that are like-minded. The Psalms talk about that. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is a blessing. There's nothing wrong with that blessing. But if that's all we're seeking, we're missing the heart of God. We don't really know Him. Because Christ came not just to hang out with people who were already like Him, because there weren't any. If He had wanted to do that, He would have stayed in heaven, wouldn't He? Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they have perfect harmony, perfect unity. Could have stayed there and enjoyed that. But He didn't. He came down to be with people who were horrible. People who nobody wanted. Nobody wanted to love them. I'd like to tell you a couple of stories. I'm speaking on this as I hope that this is always the case when I speak, and I hope you don't mind that I speak what God speaks to me. And what God has been speaking to me is, you need to know the heart of God. You need to go and learn what it means that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And that needs to be displayed in your life. Several weeks ago, beginning of the year, in fact, I was in Charleston, South Carolina, and my wife and I were down there in a little hotel, and we were right down in downtown Charleston. We were there for pleasure. We were there to have a good time. It was a nice vacation, right? It was just a time of retreat. But our first night there, we were awakened at about 4 o'clock in the morning by a woman. I presume it was a woman. It's hard to even tell. But she was just wailing loudly. I mean, we were right in downtown Charleston, so. But it was just over and over and over and over again, the same mournful wail. And when I was fully awake, you know, I got up and I looked out the window, opened the door just to kind of see where this was coming from. We couldn't even see the person. At one point, we caught a glimpse of her, and she was just kind of crossing the street or something. But we were just thinking, wow, what is going on? This is a new experience for us. We're not used to this sort of thing. But what
what happened in my heart was an internal struggle. Because my desire was to drown out that noise, to get that noise to stop and go back and get in my nice, comfortable bed. That's what I wanted to do. It was not the time that I wanted to wake up, after all, 4 a.m. This was supposed to be a vacation. I was supposed to have time to sleep in and so forth. But suddenly the Lord said to me, where would Jesus be right now? Where would the Lord Jesus be? Would he be curled up in his cozy bed in a comfortable hotel room? And I knew the answer. No, that's not where he would be. He would be out there with that woman. And I had every argument. Well, sure, that's where the Lord would be, but I don't know what to do. What would I do? I'm not equipped for this. This does not seem like a good idea. I don't know where. I mean, I've never been in this city before. I don't know anything about what's going on. But the Lord just said, do you not believe that you have the Holy Spirit? You say you're not equipped? Do you not have the Holy Spirit? Is that not all the equipment that you need? Now I tell you, I didn't go out there. I didn't go find the woman. I don't know what would have happened if I had tried. But it really changed something in the way that I think. And I began to ask that question, where am I missing something about the heart of God? And I just invite you to ask that question too. Do you really know God's heart? Are you pursuing it? It's much more comfortable just to be with people that think like us and to be in our comfortable homes. That's not what Christ came to the earth to do. My second story, I was talking, this was sometime before that I was talking to Christ, and we were just having some tea together and just talking. And he mentioned to me that years and years ago, he had the desire to really reach out to to the people in his neighborhood. And he lived in a very poor neighborhood, a very not a great place of town that most of us would consider. And he wanted to reach out to these people, and he had a desire to reach out to them and bring them to the assembly and see them saved and discipled. And he was relating this to me, and I was excited for his desire, even though he was talking about this years ago. But he said that when he mentioned this desire to one of the elders at that time in the assembly, that the elder was like, well, do we really want that? I mean, when we start having people come in that are, I've got a lot of baggage and there's a lot of different things, it just kind of causes a lot of disruption. Could cause a lot of turmoil. You know, it's going to be very uncomfortable. And he said, well, yeah, I guess that's true. And I think he never pursued it any further, really. And I just, when I heard that, I said, what have we become? Have we so lost sight of the heart of God?
So I just want to leave you with this question, because we're running out of time. So I want us to think about this question as we begin to get a glimpse of God's heart and what it is that He really desires and who it is that He wants to show love to. I want you to ask yourself this question as I ask myself this question. Are you the kind of person that God can entrust with those people that He loves? Are you someone that when God has a dear loved one, someone that He loves and died for, they might have tattoos all over their body. They might be a drug addict. They might be a prostitute. They might be gender confused. But if God wants to bring that person to Himself, are you the person that God is going to trust to bring that person into your life? Because He knows that you will deal with that person the way He would deal with that person. That's just a question I want to ask you, that I'm asking myself, for you to ponder and think about.